I was watching you sing. I could almost tell the words by the way you, I could see your mouth move. Doing great. I couldn't see the rest of where we were singing, but this is show and tell day. Anyone know what this is? A night light? That's right. Do any of you have one of these in your house?
No.
No, you don't? You do? Where is it? In your room?
Okay.
Your room? We have a lot of these in our house because when the grandkids come, they like to be able to see at night. And so we have them in the hallways and in the bedrooms and all the bathrooms. And so they have them all over. Well, you all knew what that was. What is this?
Like a boat.
A boat?
It has stuffing coming out.
Yeah, that's all stuff there, yeah.
Was it like turtle shell?
Yeah. That's a night light.
It's an old one.
Yeah, really old. This is a genuine replica of a 2,000 plus year old lamp from Israel. Yes, it would work.
How does it work?
There's a hole here. You put oil in.
Oil?
Yeah.
Oil.
And if you look real carefully, see that wick goes down in there? You see it goes down in there, hole? And the oil gets in the wick and it comes up there and then you light that. And you have a little handle. You can carry it around the room. So, you would have a lamp in your house. Now, when Jesus was on earth, houses were a little different than today. How many of you have your own room?
Houses usually had one room.
And not much furniture, because you had to do a lot in there. You had to cook in there, so you had a fire. And they didn't have much heat. Or windows and glass and windows or anything like that. So you all slept together. That way bodies would keep each other warm. So if you got up in the night and had to go to the bathroom, you'd have trouble. You might step on someone. So you needed a little bit of a light just so you could see, right? You didn't want to step on your mom or your dad. Or a brother or sister if you had one. You wouldn't want to get stepped on either, right? They're heavier too, aren't they? Yeah. Anyway, this is a lamp, a really old one, like they would have in Israel. Long, long, long time ago. Anyway, that's my show and tell for today. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and that you sent him to be with us. And it's fun to know how he lived. Amen. Thanks for coming up.
The scripture reading today is from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This is God's word.
Let us pray. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, and the actions of our lives this coming week be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. A man asked his wife what she'd like for her birthday. She replied, I'd love to be six again. So on the morning of her birthday, he got her up bright and early, and off they went to the local theme park. What a day. He put her on every ride in the park. 5 hours later, she staggered out of the theme park, her head reeling, her stomach upside down, right to McDonald's for a big kid's meal with extra fries and a refreshing chocolate shake. And then it was off to see the latest Disney movie, complete with hot dogs and popcorn. What a fabulous adventure. Finally, she arrived home with her husband and collapsed into bed. He leaned over and lovingly asked, well, dear, what was it like being six again? One eye opened. You idiot, she said. I meant my dress size. That poor guy got it all wrong. But who among us wouldn't like to be a child again? At least for a few hours. Time slips away so fast. All too soon, we're covered up with responsibilities. Not all of us, but most of us do adjust to increased responsibility as we mature. St. Paul recognized that just as there is a maturing process in life, so there is a maturing process in faith. He wrote to the Corinthians on one occasion, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready. Even now you're not ready. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. On another occasion, he wrote, brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking, but in thinking be adults. 1 Corinthians 14, 20. And in 1 Corinthians 13, his most beautiful work, he writes, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. And now, in our lesson for today that Bob just read, here it is Jesus whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's a sermon. The rest I would just ad lib. Fill it out a little bit. See, this is the goal of faith. That we might be mature in Christ. Think about what it means to be mature. It means that we move away from a life of self to a life of service. That's the essence of what the whole life process is about. The difference between an infant and a mature adult. Infants are focused only on their own needs. Did you hear the third grade teacher who was grading a geography test? One question was, name the four major directions. One little girl answered, the four major directions are listen carefully, write neatly, sit up straight, and raise your hand. That might not work on a geography test, but it's probably a great four-point sermon. Sit up straight, raise your hand. Babies are so sweet and lovable. However, there is something else about babies. They are totally wrapped up in themselves. They control us. And they take complete advantage of that. If they're hungry or need to be changed, they let us know about it. And usually they aren't too patient if we're a little slow in meeting their needs. They learn very early how to manipulate us until we're carrying out their every wish. But that's what babies are supposed to do. Until the time when he or she is able to fend for him or herself. What is life except the process of weaning us from focusing on our needs to focusing on the needs of others? What is maturity except the process of moving from self to service? That's how Paul saw himself, as a servant of the church. The best leaders are always of that mindset, whether it's in the church or business or politics. To paraphrase Jesus' words, we are not here to be served, but to serve. Maturity in Christ means moving from self to service. It also means moving from our value system to Christ's value system. Paul writes this as the mystery of God, Christ in us. Do you have that consciousness that Christ lives within you? The greatness of our lives lies in the foundation upon which we build our lives. Think about that for a moment. Others may never see our foundation, but they will see the fruits of a solid foundation in how we conduct ourselves. The average person looks at what we used to call the Sears Tower in Chicago and says, "Wow, what an incredible building." But an architect, someone who really knows buildings, looks at that building and says, "Wow, what a foundation." No building can grow very tall or withstand the test of time if it does not have a good foundation. On what is your life built? The wise person builds his or her life upon the solid rock that is Christ our Lord. Maturity means that you have moved from a life of self to a life of service. Maturity also means that you have a Christ consciousness. He lives within us. He's the foundation of our life. His values are to be our values. Maturity in Christ also means understanding that life is not about us. It's about God and God's purpose for His creation. Jesus turned human thinking upside down. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If you would be the master of all, then you must be the servant of all. If you want to save your life, then you must lose your life. What did he mean by these cryptic messages? Let me give you a hint. The answer is not about us. It's about God and God's plan for his creation. Most of you are familiar with news reporter Diane Sawyer, 60 Minutes, and then more recently, The Evening News. In 1985, she was in the West African country of Mali to report on the drought and the famine for 60 Minutes. They came across an 11-year-old orphaned boy who, despite all the suffering and starvation, had a radiant, magical smile. His name was Mohammed. Little did Diane Sawyer know that when Muhammad's face was broadcast into living rooms across the country, a woman in Indianapolis would turn to her husband and say, "He's my responsibility." Diane Sawyer figured Cheryl Carter's shot was no different from hundreds of other viewers who called the next day in a temporary burst of generosity. But she was different. She was determined to do something about this young boy's plight. U.S. Immigration told her that she'd be looking for a needle in a haystack trying to find this boy. Undaunted, she banged on doors and rang telephones till Catholic missionaries finally found that child. Using money they'd put aside for a new car, Cheryl's husband, Charlie, flew to Mali to meet Muhammad. But more red tape had to be cut before Muhammad to be brought home. Armed with a photograph of her son-to-be, Cheryl sat down with immigration officials and said bluntly, "While you're talking to me, he's dying of hunger." And they listened. Cheryl and Charlie exhausted their life savings and took out a loan to bring Muhammad to Indianapolis. He already knew a fair amount of English and was soon so fluent that he was being interviewed on local TV. He mentioned a friend of his whom he'd last seen lying sick in the street. And guess what? A woman watching in Bloomington, Indiana, turned to her husband and said, "He's my responsibility." And Muhammad's friend eventually came to Indiana too, and later managed his American father's construction company. And Muhammad earned his bachelor's degree from Georgetown University School of Foreign Services. Diane Sawyer sums up the story: to know that two children were lifted from the jaws of death because of an 18-second news item I did as a matter of course. Well, it's the kind of thing that we in this business only dream about. When we understand that life is not about me, but about God and God's plan for His creation, then we can live by Jesus' upside down vision of life. The first shall be last, the last first. If you would become a master of all, then you must be the servant. If you want to be the greatest, become like a little child. If you would save your life, then you must lose it. Cheryl and Charlie could have invested their money in a lot of other things, that car they planned to buy. But you think in a million years that car would have brought them as much joy as their investment in a happy-faced but starving little boy from Africa? If you think any of the things Madison Avenue is telling us that we have to be happy could have brought them nearly as much happiness, then you're still living on an immature plane of life. Life is not about us. Only when we realize that will we discover the true meaning of life. So St. Paul's goal is to bring us to maturity in Christ. Paul was in prison when he wrote those words. Did you know that? He was in prison, filled with joy because he was doing God's work. This isn't some abstract theory Paul is advocating. It's real life experience. For he had discovered the real secret of happiness. If you want to experience life in all of its fullness, allow Christ to live in you. Move from self to service. Live by Christ's value system and not your own. Understand that it's not about you. It's about God's plan for this creation of His. Amen. Now may the grace of God and the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon each of us, both now and forevermore, and upon this food of which, in which we are about to partake. Amen.